Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires done, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ. God, whose beloved Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life. Grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a difficult day. Today we have to say goodbye to Father Perry. He's retiring. Father Perry was here when I got here to this cathedral. And for me, he is a fixture in this place. I don't know what I'm going to do without him telling me jokes, being brutally honest, being my good friend. So, how do we say goodbye? At times like these, when our life seems to change direction, how do we say goodbye? In the course of his time with us, Father Perry gave us a great gift. He wrote a book. I know that many of you have read it. I'm nuts about the cover because it just jumps right out at you. There is this vestment, a chasuble, that the priest wears while celebrating communion. It's a beautiful chasuble, and then in front of the chasuble, there's a gun. So you see the cover and you go, what is that? And it makes you want to pick up the book. In the opening chapter, Perry gives us a glimpse into a pivotal moment in his life. It was Halloween night, and Perry and his younger brother David were trick-or-treating. They were all dressed up in their costumes, as kids do, having a great time, getting a lot of candy. And they come to the big castle-like house, which is at the end of the street. And both boys, Perry writes, were secretly terrified of this house. It was huge. It was mysterious. And the lady that lived there was a little scary. She opened the door. Trick or treat, the boys said. And the lady asked them, which one of you two is the older child? I am, said Perry at age 10. Oh, so you're the boy who was adopted. No, he said. No? Oh, yes, yes, I know who you are. You're the boy who was adopted. I've always pictured Perry as a 10-year-old boy, standing there dressed up as someone else, and realizing that he had no idea of who he really was. That he had no idea who he really was. And I find that God is incredible in how he speaks to us through the scripture. As many of you know, we are moving our way through the Old Testament this year at the cathedral. And today we read about Moses, who also was adopted. Moses also did not know who he was. His mother and sister knew that if they did not give him away, he would die, because the Pharaoh was killing off Hebrew babies. And so they put the baby Moses in this basket and they sent him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter sees him and loves him and adopts him. Moses would have died if he hadn't been adopted. But he too, like Perry, grew up with one foot in two different worlds. Perry would later write that he spent much of his adult life searching for his biological parents, searching for himself, really, to find out who he was. And Moses, too, would spend much of his life searching for who he was. He could no longer tolerate, as an adult living in Pharaoh's court. He identified with his bloodline. And so when he saw a soldier beating a Hebrew, he killed that soldier and then ran away. Ran off into the desert, where Jesus would later go, a place where we can hear ourselves think, where we can be lost and then be found. Moses was looking for himself. I think that all of us, Perry, not just those of us who were adopted, but all of us wonder who we are. Even if we were born to our parents, hopefully, if we're sort of healthy, sometime in adolescence, we begin to say to our parents, "I don't want to be you. I'm somebody else." But then we ask ourselves, "But who is that? Who am I?" And everyone asks, I know they ask my children, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" What a stupid question. I'm going to be a person. I'm going to eat. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to love the people that I love. But they want an answer to this: who are you going to be? You should decide, "I'm going to be a lawyer or a doctor or a pilot or a physician or a business person," somebody, as if your work will define who you are. But it never does, does it? It's never enough. And so we too, we search for ourselves, for who we really are. Even the Sadducees in the gospel, they don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in the resurrection. And yet they ask Jesus, "If there is a heaven, then who will I be when I get there?" And what about the woman who marries seven husbands? Whose wife will she be? Will I be a wife in heaven? Will I be a parent? Who will I be? Who am I now? Who will I be then? Even as we age and get older, Perry and I have talked so much about how we see these elderly and they have to let go of their stuff and they have to move out of their homes and they don't know who they are without their belongings. And all over again it happens. If I'm not all of this, then what am I? Who am I? So Moses wanders in the desert, searching for himself, and he comes upon this phenomenon, this event of God, in which God is burning this bush but not consuming it. And I think that it is essential to note that if Moses had defined himself, if he had known exactly who he was, I don't think he would have stopped to listen. If Moses had thought of himself fully as a shepherd, if that was his identity, he would have said, "Hey, I can't let those sheep wander all over this rocky surface. I can't let them fall off cliffs or get lost. So this is interesting, but I've got to stick with my job because that's who I am." Or if Moses had thought that he was the faithful husband, he would have stuck with those sheep and not stood by and talked with God. He would have been too busy for God. He would have been busy keeping track of the sheep. Who owned those sheep? You tell me, who owned the sheep? His wife's father, right? So if he were to be a good husband, he would have to keep his eyes on those guys, or he'd get in serious trouble with his father-in-law. So it is precisely the fact that Moses was a bit lost, that he did not fully identify himself as shepherd or husband or even runaway criminal. It is precisely because he was lost that he's willing to listen. And he turns aside from everything that defines him, from every busyness that he had, every responsibility that he had. He turns aside and stops and listens. And Moses says these beautiful three words to God. God calls his name, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am. Here I am. I may not know who I am, but I'm here." And it is because Moses was present with God that the history of our salvation began. In order to truly listen to God, we've got to put ourselves aside anyway. You know, when Jesus went out into the desert, what did the devil ask of him? The devil wanted him to be all about himself. "Feed yourself. Throw yourself down from here. If you worship me, I'll give you all these things." And Jesus said, "No. You will not define me. I will not be only about myself. I will be present to God." And every time we pray, really, if we really are truly to listen to God, we've got to put aside ourselves, our thoughts, our worries, our concerns, who we are, who we want to be, and just be present with God. On Thursday, we had lunch for Perry with the staff, and I asked him, "How you doing?" And I always love this about him. He's so honest. He said, "I'm scared. All my life, I've moved from one role to another." And if you read his book, he's had such amazing things he's done in his life. From a bullfighter to a Trappist monk, to a Vietnam veteran, to the CIA and the FBI, and then a priest. But all that time, he was always moving to do something else, to be something else. And now, he's just retiring. And that takes enormous courage. Did you know that? I've come to believe that retiring takes enormous courage. Because for the first time in your life, you're just going to be. But it is precisely those moments when we don't know what we're doing or who we are that God has the space to speak to us. So, I'm scared too. I'm scared to be in this place without Father Perry around day in and day out. But I also believe that God can do something with that. So here I am with you saying goodbye. And you know, Perry, you do have a family. We're it. We're it. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Almighty Father, through the waters of baptism, you have made us your children. Help us to live more fully as part of your family of saints. Living God,
hear our prayer.
You have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. We especially pray for the Diocese of Utah. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the people of the Middle East, guide those in authority around the world, that there may be greater understanding among all people. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who have died, that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. We especially remember John Noseworthy, John Carlson, and Elizabeth Beppe Walton. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow these ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Judge of the nations, we remember before you with great hearts the men and women of our country who in the day of decision ventured much for the liberties we now enjoy. Grant that we may not rest until all the people of this land share the benefits of true freedom and gladly accept its discipline. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We thank you also for the ministry of our priest and friend, Father Perry Smith. Watch over him as he retires from active ministry. May his days be filled with joy, his travels be safe, and may he be filled with the strength of your presence.
Amen.
Fashion us in your image and likeness, O God, that we may serve you as your children all our days.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. We may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, all of you. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew, and you can fill it out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here with us today. Another group of people who have said, "Here I am," when their country called them, are our veterans. And I think it's very important that we remember and thank all the people who served this country. So if you are in active military duty, or if you are a veteran of any kind, would you please stand and let us say thank you? May God bless you and thank you. Today we want to honor Father Perry and Lisa by having a reception. That reception will take place in Tolliver Hall following the service, so I hope you all will make your way over there and let us toast and roast and do all those good things for Father Perry. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we will be having a talent show for our choir is putting on an amazing talent show. I got to watch some of the rehearsal yesterday, such talent. It begins at 5, dinner is served, tickets are available after this service, or they can be purchased at the door. And the choir has also now begun to sell their CDs, which are Christmas CDs. They're called O Come All Ye Faithful, beautiful music. $20, a great stocking stuffer, so think about buying a CD as well. Next Saturday, the lay weeders will be sprucing up our grounds, and everyone is invited to participate. Lunch will be provided, and there are details in your bulletin. And if you are someone who has no family around, please consider having Thanksgiving with your church family. We will have a service at 10:30 in the morning, followed by a potluck lunch. The cathedral will provide the turkey, and so please join us. We had over 100 people last year having Thanksgiving with us, so you all are welcome. Details will be provided in the bulletin. We have a couple of special guests today. Father Nadim Nassar is the one living Anglican Syrian priest, and he spoke so eloquently to us yesterday about the situation in the Middle East with Christians and how they are becoming extinct, and how we as Americans are asleep about this crisis, and we need to wake up, and do all that we can to support the Christians in the Middle East. So, Father Nassar, where are you? Are you here? Would you stand up? He will be at our reception as well. Father Nassar has started a foundation called the Awareness Foundation, trying to increase awareness of the plight of Christians, and we will be doing more with this foundation in the coming months. Also, I want to welcome back one of our members who went with the Peace Corps to Botswana. Jan, are you here? Jan Miller has returned and has many stories to tell. And last but not least, we are completing our pledge drive, and we have about almost half of our members have pledged. If you have not yet filled out that pledge card, please do so that we can write our budget. We have lots of pledge cards in the back of the church. You can pledge online, but we are going to call everybody who hasn't filled out the card. So fill it out, and then we won't have to call and see if you still support us. So we want to know approximately in any amount how or if you can support us financially for 2014. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Subject to evil and death, you in your mercies sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Oh.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer of the world, be with you now and forever. Amen.